What I wanted to do today, and as you see, I set this up. I think this is actually, in a perfect world, which we don't live in, I am neither sufficiently prepared or not everything lends itself to this, is actually the way to approach a Tosfos and the way to even approach preparing for Shir. To have a very, very definite set of places going. Here, the reason I did this is because it almost demands it. Right? As you can imagine, did any of you try learning Tosfos on your own before? You got the Makoros before you even gotten there, but you can imagine what would happen if you tried learning Tosfos on your own. You have no idea what's flying. So that's better than having a half. I had the three-quarters of idea what was flying. So I got most of it, almost all, but not quite all of it. But if you have a three-quarters idea, it's actually worse. Because when you have no idea what's flying, you might be tempted to actually go look up all the Gemaras on your own. When you have a three-quarters idea what's flying, so your Yetzer Hara says, you basically know what it is there, so who's going to go look? But that does impede learning it properly, right? Really knowing what each sugya is. And I will tell you, even though I did the Tosfos and I got 90%, except for two lines, I basically got it after two or three times through it, going back and doing the entire sugya of a whole bunch of pieces made things a lot clearer in my mind. I didn't give you the entire sugya in the Maariv Hakomos because there was no chance. I didn't think anybody was going to get through all of it. So let's... Did you bring this mark here? Did I leave it here or is it someone else's?
I think it's someone else's because okay. There's my stuff on the board.
That's fine.
It's awesome green.
Okay, fine. So what we're going to do is...
Which one's the Mali, which one's the Mali?
Okay. No, they didn't go out. This was not our stuff. Fine. Okay. Now, the first question is, what are the two opinions in Menachos regarding the construction of the Misgeres? Now, just a point, in the Sugya in Menachos has nothing to do with our Sugya. The Sugya in Menachos wants to know how high, not how high, they say how high the Shulchan was, they don't mean how high the Shulchan is. They mean how high was the bread over the surface of the Shulchan. Right? The assumption of the Gemara is that the Shulchan is four legs, okay, and a solid top. Okay, I'm going to... assume the top has a thickness to it. No, there's no bottom here, sorry. I don't know how wide the legs are, but basically this, I'm going to show you what it would look like. Right, this is solid because you're seeing from the side. So how tall was this, by the way? How tall was the Shulchan up to there? Noam?
Is it two amot? One and a half, one and a half.
Yeah, it's a pasuk. That's not for discussion. What the Gemara is discussing is how high, when you pile the breads up on the table, how high, that I can't really do, how high do they go? All right? Now, a note, just, and I won't say more than that in this, but just to understand an earlier piece in the Gemara, if you read it, the way it is traditionally drawn the Shulchan is you had these two snifim, which were these boards that came up. Okay, I'm showing you see-through. And the lechem, and there were little chatzi kanim chalulim, that you had three, and then three, and then three. You figure out how to move. I think there were, the first bread went on the table, then you had four shelves of three, okay, and then one shelf of two, and that gets you six breads on each side. So you had 14 kanim chalulim on this side, chatzi kanim chalulim on that side, and 14, you know, the same thing on this side. Now, this diagram, by the way, already betrays a bias about the way the shulchan was set up. And the reason is, do you want to know where is the machlokas about whether an amas kelim was bas chamisha bas shisha? I don't want to tell you. There might be a mishnah in kelim. Is it somewhere? But it appears not. What?
Because the bread was a tefach thick, wasn't it?
Before you get to that. In the mishnah here, there's a machloka. Everybody agrees that the bread was 5 by 10. The question is, how big was the shulchan? So how big was the shulchan? How long was the shulchan? Two amos. How wide was it?
One
amma, which is either 5 by 10 or 6 by 12. That's the machlokas Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. It's beferish in the Mishnah. Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir don't state it as a broad klal, but there might be an explicit statement somewhere. I think there is. I just saw it in the last day. I don't know where it is. But this is a manifestation of an explicit machlokas Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, whether a 5 or 6 tefachim in the amma of the kelim. So this drawing is Rabbi Meir Shita, because according to Rabbi Huda, the snifim would have covered the entire shulchan. There's no gap in between. Some say the gap in between, you put the shnei bazichei levona. I don't want to go into any more details there about it and why this matters. It's in this context, I'm going to erase the snifim and I'm not going to worry about the bread. But it's in this context that the Gemara talks about the question as follows. They talk about how, based upon that bread could not hang out over the shulchan. The length of the bread had to be folded over. Right? The lechem apanim was matzah, And it was, of course, soft, because matzah is soft when it's baked properly. The lechem upon it was folded over. It's a machlokes. If it's 10 tefachim long, how much do you have to fold over? Two etzbos? Two tefachim? Or 2.5 tefachim each? Depends on how wide the shulchan is. Anyway, so based upon how much you fold over may determine how high the bread winds up. Right? How high the bread gets stacked up. And then the Gemara asked a question. They gave a number, but they said there was a miskeres. The assumption of the miskeres is that it was a ledge on the shulchan, in the question, a little ledge around the edge of the shulchan, and that the breads sat on top of that. In other words, whatever it was, something was under the breads didn't sit directly on the shulchan. They were forced to sit on top of the miskeres. And the miskeres, therefore, does what to the height of the shulchan? It adds it a tefach. That's where the Gemara gets into this discussion and says that according to the Manda Omar, that miskarta lamala, so they ask the question. So the Gemara makes it clear there's a machlokas where the miskeres was, and the answer that's given is that no, the miskeres didn't lean into the shulchan, it leaned away, so you can actually put the bread on the surface of the shulchan. That's where the Gemara comes in. It's at this point, now we get the discussion of the Gemara. Noam, your question.
The Kuli Alma, was the miskeres just a frame, or was it solid in the middle?
Oh, the miskeres would imagine something like a 2x4, but wider than the 2x4. The miskeres. The question is as follows. Really, the question. Well, let me show you the two diagrams you see. The miskeres, when it's here, basically you could take a frame, and as you basically take 2x4s or their equivalent, you know, tefach by I don't know how thick, you know, and nail it into the top of the shulchan here, nail it here, nail it here, nail it here. So you basically had a flat top with a rail nailed into it around.
Is that true? Is the same thing true if it was on the bottom?
No. Okay. No. That machlokas. Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. Okay. That's the first step. So this is the description. This is the description of let's look at the Gemara for a second. Let's see. If anything I want to read from it. Ba'ika miskerto. Doesn't that add to the height? So the Gemara says, "Kamanda Amar lemata haisa." So then the Gemara says, "Ulamanda maskarta lemala haisa." Parkude hava mifarkida velechem begavei de shulchan hava yosef. It suggests now this seems to be a different teretz. In other words, you could have it miskarta lemata, but still it goes directly on the shulchan. Kidetani Rabbi Yosi Amar loha yasham snifim ela miskarto shel shulchan ma'amedes es halechem. Amrulo, miskarto lemata haisa. Rabbi Yosef believes that this was the miskeres, and by being a ledge, it helps keep the bread stable. Notice the lowest bread was being kept in, it couldn't slide off the shulchan, and all the other bread stayed on top of that. And they responded to Rabbi Yosef, and the snifim were those tall things that I drew for you. The Torah doesn't have a word snifim. You have to figure out which word in the pasuk it is. Vasisa, Vasisa ka'arosav v'chaposav, uksosav u'menachiosav asher yusach bahim. So ka'arosav v'chaposav are probably not those boards, because the ka'ara would be the trays that the bread was in. The kapos would be probably the kapos for the shtei bazichei lavona. And then uksosav u'menachiosav. I'm sorry, I said phrase. So it's either the ksos or the menachios. Those would have been what Chazal called the snifim. Rabbi Yosef said there were no snifim. The bread just sat recessed in the table. And the Chachamim say, no, that can't be, because the miskarto lamata haisa, so it couldn't have held the bread in. So now let me show you what miskarto lamata haisa means. This is our table. And I would understand, I'm going to show you the hollow part also, is in what Rashi says, it's that basically the miskeres ran from leg to leg. And if it was nailed into something, it was nailed into the legs. It might not even, in other words, imagine I'm going to show you a cross section. If this is a leg, and this is a leg, and this is a tabletop, right, this is supposed to be a top. This is the miskeres. It goes from leg to leg. Okay, the tabletop is a single thing, and this is X's. Now, the X's are fundamentally nailed into what?
The legs.
Even if you pull the legs off and somehow the miskeres were nailed into the top, nonetheless, it wouldn't be makabel completely because the corners might let the stuff out. But Anyway, this is the way Rashi understood. Now, when you look at this, what does that mean immediately about the tavla? What's the difference between this tabletop, the tavla, and this tabletop?
Yehuda.
One has a base kibble, one does not. This tabletop has a straight-up base kibble, which, in fact, according to Rabbi Yose, is doing Kabbalah. And this table does not. If you were to take the tabletop off here and anything attached to it, if you pull out of the legs, you'd have just a flat tabletop. Now, yes, yeah.
Then if you're showing yet another way of reading it, where you have the mascara, it says,
yeah, it could be lower down here.
He thinks it was actually on the ground.
Right, it's for stability purposes.
Yeah,
okay, fine. It does, for our purposes, it's right. The same as Rashi.
Well, you could argue it's at least a sort of theoretical base people if they're actually touching each other, which happens to not be well attached.
How are they gonna, it's hollow on the bottom. It's just these four bars on the bottom. It's still hollow. There's nothing to be makabel anything. If you were to pull a tabletop off, they can't hold anything. It's big. It's like it's a frame of 2x4s.
Yeah, if you were to actually flip it upside down, it would be able to hold things because the base plate would be resting on the shulchan. In theory, if gravity worked the other direction, it would be able to be have a base cable.
Meaning you couldn't have a Rabbeinu Tam with a Rabbeinu Gershom description of Miskarta Lamata.
Correct. No, I understand that. But
right,
what I'm saying is...
That's what you're saying. Well,
Miskarta Lamata, there's no way it's a base cable one way or the other.
Why?
He's not saying that.
Are you sure? What if, let's say you flipped it...
You have to take the tabletop out of the equation.
But no, if you flip the table upside down, you would have a base table on it.
According to Rabbeinu Tam.
Even not according to Rabbeinu Tam.
No, only according to Rabbeinu Tam. Because what you're looking at here is, this is the thickness of the shulchan.
Yeah.
The tabletop. If you put a bar here.
Oh, there in Hakanami.
Isn't that what Rabbeinu Gershom does at the bottom?
Yeah, it's Rabbeinu Gershom. I agree with you. As I'm saying, the difference is, according to Rashi, you could have a base table if you flip the table upside down. Because it's some of the shulchan.
Yeah, but I know, except for the tabletop is not part of your kliyos. But in other words, the key for Rashi is if you take the tabletop off.
Right. There's no base kibble.
It's not a base kibble. That, and we're looking at the daf shulchan. Morty.
The brace of Rabbi Yossi where it ends with Amru Lo, that it was Lamata.
Yeah.
But is that, like... Does that mean Rabbi Yossi was Moda in the end? Like,
No. The Gemara under Rabbi Yochanan understands that this is exactly the Machlokas.
But I'm just sort of asking on the Lashon of Amru, as opposed to the presentation of two opinions, the way that it's just the story.
You're right. No, these two opinions are inferred from the story. That's correct. That's just it. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now Rabbi Yochanan comes along. Now, the one piece of data that we're about to read, but you have to keep this in mind. So let me, to understand the two most difficult lines in Tosfos, you have to first grasp this point. Is the Shulchan Mekabel Tumah?
Yes.
How do you know it's Mekabel Tumah?
Awesome. You know from...
No?
Shulchan
Tahor. HaShulchan HaTar Lefnei Hashem, Mechlal that it could be Tumah. Okay? And as you put... What's Pshat in the Pasuk, by the way?
It's for Mishkan, so it's Tahor.
No. Probably call that Shulchan HaTar because it was coated with Zahav Tahor. But Chazal read it, al shulchan ha-tahor, meaning on the shulchan when it's tahor, implying that there's a time it could be tahor. Why is there a problem? So the Torah is telling us a fact. The fact is that the shulchan is mekabel tumah. The question is, why is there two different ways of looking at this? But why does if a shulchan is normally mekabel tumah, why would the Torah have to tell us?
Default assumption is that something that has like said structure would not be mekabel.
Okay, so one possibility is that there's an assumption about the shulchan of why it would not. We might have thought it's not mekabel tumah. The Torah is teaching us that in fact is not an issue. Now, what in fact are the practical impediments? Being students of rabbinic law, knowing mishnayos, knowing having learned a little bit, having heard a little bit from me on the last day, what are the two impediments that exist? That you would say that on your own, without a pasuk, the shulchan's not mekabel tumah. Noam?
It's not
mital tamal evarekon. It's a piece of furniture. It's a little too heavy to do it, too big to do that. It's kli'etz ha'asun l'naches. It's meant to be left in place. Number one. Number two, what's the other problem, Yonah?
Doesn't have a base kibble.
Doesn't have a base kibble. Now, it is possible that So this is what I would say. These two problems are dealt with differently. There is a rule that we wouldn't have known on our own that Kli'eitz Asi L'Nachas is not Mekabel Tuma. We know that from Exeris HaKasa, from Sak. Once that's the case, what then, the way Gemara understands it, what is the Torah teaching when it calls the Shulchan HaTohar? You have to read Rashi really carefully for this, or Tosfos carefully for this. What do we learn from our Shulchan HaTohar? There could have been two possibilities, but it's interesting. Yeah.
They picked it up.
What does it mean we learned that they picked it up?
It's not as an Anachis.
I know, but this you have to. What is the Torah teaching us here? A historical fact?
That something that you would have thought is Asal Nahis, but is actually not.
You know, you're almost there. Maybe you don't realize this is a Chiddush. No?
No, it's there.
It's teaching you that there's a mitzvah to pick it up. I think that's implicit if you read Tosfos in the very difficult part. The whole point is, it doesn't teach you, you could have said, but nobody says this, that it's teaching you that this is an exception to the rule, Kli'etz Asa Nahis. No one's going to say it teaches you that Kli'etz Eta Asa Nahis is the Kabbal Tumah, because we have a separate passage that tells you that it's not. It either tells you that the Shulchan is an exception to the rule, or it tells you that it's not going to tell you that the Shulchan is immovable. It's like, duh, if you want to move it, you can move it. It tells you there's a mitzvah to move it, which by definition then makes it a Kli'etz Eno Asa Nahis. So that's teaching you not a din, it's teaching you a mitzvah, not the din of tuma, it's teaching you a mitzvah which then generates the din. It makes it a kliyach and also the nachis. Yes?
The fact is that the shofar is pretty small.
It probably wasn't so light.
It was smaller than this desk.
So I don't know, I never researched this, and I'm saying this off the top of my head. But the question is, there's another term for something that's not makabel tuma because it's too big to move. And it's learned from, I know, the same din of sock. And that's called Kli Havava Mina. Right? Our barn saw Belach, which is, you know, Shisham B'Yavish, because you can stack stuff over the top. Is Kli Havava Mina and Kli Eitz Asul Nachis the same thing? It might be, because it's learned from the same possibility. Here's another possibility. I haven't looked into this din, but you have a job now. It's a small research project. It could be that Kli Havava Mina is an objective standard. It's that size, it's not movable. It's just too heavy to move. Kli'eta asu l'naches can mean something that it's not that it's immovable, you can't move it, it's just no one not meant to be moved. Right? In other words, imagine you have a dresser, right? Any of you ever heard of the Honeymooners? There are members of my family who have bikis in it. I have very little ideas in it, but there's one scene that's always stuck in my mind. Whenever I move a piece of furniture, I think about it. When you move a dresser, what do you do in order to move it first? You take the drawers out, right? There's this episode where Ralph and Norton are trying to move a dresser that Alice asks them to move it, and the kid's too heavy to pick it up. They try to, it's too heavy. They take the drawers out, put it on top of the dresser, then they pick it up and move it. So the point is, a dresser is not intended to be moved, right? I don't mean the nightstand maybe, but a dresser, you know, the two dressers that sit in our room do not get moved. If they had to be, pull one away, I have to take one of them and stuff. I have to pull the drawers out, thing, I shift it a few, that's a clear excess in the office. Is it movable? Movable. I mean, you know, and if I pick something so a little small on that, it's definitely movable, but it's heavy, nobody tends to move it. That could be, even though it doesn't reach the shear of clear above a mina, because it's clear excess in the office, it's not intended to be moved. Obviously, it's connected to the fact that it's pretty heavy. It doesn't have to be necessarily the shear of our barn saw to be also in the office. It's possible.
Was it so heavy though? I mean,
what's that?
Was it so heavy? It's made of wood and it's rather small and it was plated with gold, but how much gold?
There's a Havatar, you know, you see what the Gemara Menachos says about how Shlomo purified the gold in the Mikdash. How many times? I don't really understand what that means from a metallurgical perspective, but anyway, so the point is it wasn't. The distinction I make would explain it, but I have problems with that. There are things that certain ideas that make that very, very difficult, because Chazal always talk about the magic. We have it in Sukkah later. How do you get into a Beis HaKfaras and not become Tameh? You need to get inside a Shida Tevor Migdal, which hold our Baim Sarbalach, and then put it on wheels or something like that. So the question, if it's movable then, why isn't it Mekabel Tuma? The whole point is it's not a Kli, and it's not Mekabel Tuma, and therefore it's Chotzeis Mekabel Tuma. So the answer is because it doesn't matter if you put it on wheels. It's sheer. It's a mina. So I don't know if they're really two categories. Be that as it may, so what you've learned from that is that there's a mitzvah to move the shulchan. the fact that the Torah tells you to be Kabbal Tumah, and you know that a Kli Yitzhak Asa Lenachis is not Makal Tumah, you know that you're actually supposed to move the Shulchan. Now, Morty.
Does that mean that if you built a replica of the Shulchan, you obviously don't have the mitzvah to move it, then it's not Makal Tumah?
Probably. I mean, only, yeah, probably. Well, keep that in mind. When you write the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tumah, you'll add it. Yeah, Sif, the Rama and Sif Dalet said. Yeah, but if it was made only for replica, then...
Well,
okay. So let's...
I said make a replica.
You make a shino unit. You put seven things for Lechem HaPanim and each thing instead of six, okay? Fine. So there are two things we learn. One is we learn that. And the other thing that we would learn, perhaps, in response to Yonah's comment, is that even though it doesn't have a base keyboard, it's Mekabel Tumah. But here already, that may mean, and the Dazen Tosas, it's teaching it within, that a Kli Eitz doesn't require a base keyboard. If in fact the Shulchan didn't have a base keyboard, it might be teaching you that Kli Eitz, it doesn't say Beferish in the Torah that a Kli Eitz needs to have a Toch. Kli Cheres says that. You might have assumed that Kli Eitz are Mekabel Tumah, even though they are Pshute Kli Eitz. Right? So what you know from HaShulchan HaTahar is the Shulchan's Mekabel Tumah. You know that is a problem because it's Asur L'Naches. The solution there is it's a mitzvah to move it, so it's not Asur L'Naches. You also know that if it doesn't have a Toch, you learn from that that a Kli Eitz, She'en Lo Toch, a Kli Pshute Kli Eitz, are in fact Mekabel Tumah. Morty.
The fact that it's plated with gold doesn't change.
The Gemara goes on to talk about maybe it should be Mitame just because of the tzipui. So there's a whole machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish about this issue. If you read to the end of the Gemara, forgetting about how you deal with the tzipui issue, there's a beautiful Gemara there which you should all know. Where the Gemara starts to describe in the Mizbeach, and then God tells Yecheskel, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. And the Kasha is, talk about the Mizbeach, not the Shulchan. So the Gemara says that Bizman Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach is Mechaper. But Bizman She'en Beis HaMikdash, Shulchan Ashel Adam is Mechaper Allah, because he's Machnes Orchem. Which doesn't mean your neighbors who come over for Shabbos meal. It means people who don't have a meal. So that's essentially beautiful. It's a beautiful statement, actually. The notion that a table, it becomes like the Mizbeach. There's a lot to be said about that homiletically, but it's the Gemara's right there. It's Hadi Zayin Malach when you go over to the next page. So they talk about, in between, the tzipui. The whole discussion of Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, what kind of tzipui. In the end, I think what the Gemara says is Gzeres HaKasav, that the Shulchan is eitz. But it's treated as eitz. But otherwise, it would have been Mekabel Tumah because the tzipui would have given it the status of Klei Matchus. And Klei Matchus, gentlemen, did not require a base kibul. Pshutei Klei Matchus are Mekabel Tumah min HaTorah, no question about it. Okay, so now, what does Rabbi Yochanan and Menachos claim about the connection between the two views and the Tumah associated with the Tavla Murbas? So, the Gemara says, Va'ika miskar Amar Rabbi Yochanan, third line on the bottom of the source first sheet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan le divrei haomer miskar to lemata hoisa tavla hamispech es tameya le divrei haomer miskar to lemala hoisa tavla hamispech es tibayilach. Okay, firstly, one brief linguistic comment that tibayilach. Someone you can do a search. It's highly unusual. I don't know how unusual. Tiboi is an interesting word. In Meseches Nedarim, for example, I don't know what in the funny Meseches Nekachim, you don't find the word teku. You find the word tiboi. It was edited in a different yeshiva. The Rishonim all know that Lashon Nedarim is Meshuna. It's different. Fine. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says the following. If you hold Misgarto Lamata Haisa, then a Tavla HaMisakachas is Temeah. If, however, now, what does that mean? What if Miskarto is Lamata Haisa, so then, so we only spoke about Rashi before we have to define Rabbi Nutam. Okay. Rabbi Nutam says that, no. He says that, I'm going to draw this one, these are the legs. This is the Miskeres. Okay? But it goes to the edge of the legs, sorry. And then it goes around the table like that. Right? And then on top, I'm sorry that I'm not an artist here. On top of the Miskeres, okay, this is, you can't see,
is the table, is the tabletop. So if you were to take the legs off the Mascaris here, what would you have? What would you have? Again, I'm going to give you a bird's eye view before we put the tabletop on. This is the Mascaris from a bird's eye view. You can't see the legs that are... The legs are nailed in or screwed in or joined at the bottom. I'm just showing you where they would be hypothetically. And then on top of this frame, you put the tabletop. So if that's the case, that's Romanian top. What happens if you pull the legs off the structure then? If you pull the legs off the Mascaris, what do you get?
A beta kibble.
You get an upside-down base kibble. Right? You have basically the same thing as this, but it's upside down now. And as when the Shulchan is functioning, the base kibble is pointed downwards. It doesn't hold anything. That's Manda Miskarta Lamata Haisa. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. What motivated Rabbeinu Tam to say that? That's the key. If you understand that, you understand the entire Tosfos. Tosfos and Menachos throws it out at the end. Tosfos and Sukkah starts with it because the raya against Rabbeinu Tam, according to Tosfos, is from our Gemara. So Tosfos in Sukkah starts pivots the entire discussion initially around Rabbeinu Tam's Shita. Tosfos and Menachos is actually more properly focused from a conceptual perspective, in that he presents the whole issue first and then points out what Rabbeinu Tam tried to solve the problems by doing this, but it's wrong because it's against the Gemara in Sukkah. It's the same exact same Tosfos, but the order is inverted because one is focused on our Sugya and its implications, the other is first focused on the topic, and at the end shows how Rabbeinu Tam tried to solve it, but our Sugya and Sukkah undermines it. Zach.
I'm confused. What's the
according to Rashi, the tabletop is nailed into the legs. The Mascaris is nailed into the legs. The Mascaris and the tabletop are not actually joined together. One sits on top of the other. Okay?
Munach,
but it's not actually Mechuberla.
Right. So it's just like placed on top.
Well, because it's nailed into the legs.
No, it's just a giant sheet that fits over, you know.
No, the obviously, Zach, when you're talking about something like this and the Mascaris joins the legs, the tabletop is going to be on top of the legs and on top of the Mascaris. But the question is, what is the Mascaris attached to? Is it attached to... And as I point out to you, if the Mascaris goes into the legs from the side, it doesn't actually go all the way around the tabletop. The corners are open.
So when I say the tabletop is not attached to the Mascaris, it's attached to the legs?
No, it's attached to the legs, correct.
And then Rabbeinu Tam says, the
Mascaris... And he says the Mascaris is underneath the table and the legs go into the Mascaris.
So it's recorded both of them.
Like the Mascaris, yes, but correct. Okay. Correct. But the point is for Rashi, when you flip it over, when you take the Mascaris off the legs, the tabletop is just a flat sheet. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a base kibble. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the design of the tabletop and Mascaris is identical, so whether it's turned upside down or turned right side up. Morty?
Is there any reason that Rabbeinu Tam's picture can't look exactly like Rashi's, just the Mascaris is attached also? Meaning you nail in the Mascaris in addition to...
I tell you why, because of the corners, the legs.
No, so it's nailed into all of them.
No, what I'm telling you is that if you were to take Rashi's table, even if you pull the legs off, even if you nail the Mascaris in here, you're going to have gaps in the corners.
But why do you need to pull the legs off? Meaning, why can't just the tabla misunderstand be...
Because the legs are not makabel toma. They don't do anything.
I mean, they're
just a building.
Sort of part of the Mascaris.
No, I understand that. But the point is, based upon... The legs are not going to contribute to the fact that the tabletop is metame. That the shulchan is metame. It's going to be something to do with the tabletop. The legs do not make a base kibble in any way out of the tabletop. The Mascaris, depending upon how you construct it, might. So if the Mascaris would not make a base kibble out of the tabletop, then the tabletop's metame because the tabletop's metame. That's a tabla misapechas metame no matter what, the way Rashi and Tosfos understand. If you turn the tabla, the tabletop, into a base kibble, even when the Mascaris is below, the fact that the chiddush that a tabla misapechas metame means, if I have a tabla, which is a base kibble, but it's normally kept downward and not used to be mekabel, nonetheless it's mekabel tum and Torah because you could flip it around. That's how Rabbeinu Tam understood the Gemara. A very limited chiddush, because he doesn't like the implications of the bigger chiddush. No.
Well,
why can't the legs be part of the base kibble? In other words, following Rashi's diagram, without the legs, it's not a base kibble. With the legs, it wouldn't be a base kibble.
So the answer probably is because you can't really turn it over and use it with the legs attached. It'd be very awkward to do that. I mean, it's not impossible, very awkward. That's probably why. So you got to pull the legs off. And when you pull the legs off of Rashi, the Mascaris goes with it as well. And therefore, all you're left with is a flat tabletop, which you could turn one way or the other. Whereas, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you pull the legs off, you now have a base kibble just upside down, flip it over.
It might be much simpler. It might just be that the point of Rashi is not attached to the Mascaris of legs anyway.
What's that?
The tabletop.
I said, I don't think for Kurt Rashi. I think it's only nailed to
the legs. Maybe the legs on it.
So I think according to you just look at the description, you have to take the legs off. I think you have to take, because otherwise you can't function with it turned upside down. Like the whole assumption, I think that that's pashut. But maybe not. Maybe it doesn't matter. But I think it's simpler to understand this way. I don't think it's a real nafkamina.
Well, it is nafkamina if you have something with legs.
If you just have legs, it's not going to matter. It won't function as a base kibble. If you have four legs and a flat top.
Right, but you can have a miscarriage. Our table at home, our dining room table, has a miscarriage around the edge.
Yeah, I know. It probably has that without the legs, too. Probably goes all the way around.
Right. So it's been cobbled. It would be. Okay, anyway.
That's not true. The one in my house, the legs are part of the miscarriage.
Okay. Anyway. So now, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. So now the Gemara continues and says, so if your pattern is, if this is your tabletop and the mascaris below it, in other words, I'm sorry, if that's your mascaris and the tabletop is below it, so then the shulchan has a base kibble. The top is a base kibble. Disregard the legs, makes no difference one way or the other. And that's why the shulchan would be metame. And you don't know what the din would be if it were a tava misapeches. Let's say where Rashi says flat on both surfaces. Whereas if you hold miskarto lemata haisa according to Rashi, so then a tava misapeches, which means just a flat tabletop, for sure is metame, because otherwise how could the shulchan be metame? And we'll get to that in a second. So now the Gemara continues and says, Michlal, the Shulchan Bar Kabulei Tumahu. It sounds from the discussion that the Shulchan's a Makabel Tumah. Ah, but Kli Eitza Asur Lenaches Suva, Kli Eitza Asur Lenaches. Eino Ein Makabel Tumah. So the Gemara says, My Taima. Why is it not Makabel Tumah if it's Asur Lenaches? Dumi the Sach Binan. Masak Mitalta Malav Erekon. Afko Mitalta Malav Erekon. Shulchan, so the Gemara says, Shulchan Nami Mitalta Malav Erekon. Shulchan is in fact movable even when it has stuff on it. Kid Reish Lakish. Am Reish Lakish. Maidich Siv ala Shulchan HaTahar. Tahar Mechlal de Ika Tamek. Elam Alamech Shemagbiyan Oso La Oli Regalum Maram Bo Lechem. Va Omrim Lahem Reuchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakom. So it's interesting. Malamed, what does the Pasuk teach you? Shemagbiyan Oso La Oli Regalum. The Pasuk is teaching you by calling it HaShulchan HaTahar that you're supposed to make sure that it isn't actually a Kli'etz ha'asa l'naches. The way you make sure it's not a kli'etz ha'asa l'naches is by picking it up when it has the lechem on it. So that what our Shulchan HaTorah teaches you minimally, is that there's a mitzvah to move the Shulchan to show people. To make it into a kli'etz she'eno asa l'naches. That's what the Gemara says. And then they quote the miracle of, what was the miracle of the lechem upon it? Fine. So that's the first question. Second question. Spent a lot of time in each of these. Okay, but no drawing anymore. What does the Gemara in Bechoros imply about Kli'et, Tumah of Kli'etz? Answer precisely and carefully. What does the Gemara in Menachos say, imply? Many of you have written answers. Noam, what does your answer say? Amiel, do you have your answer there?
You mean
Ruth. No, it is.
Gotcha.
That's almost as good as the dog ate my homework. Yona, you have it?
This is what I have.
That's fine. Verbosa, I'm not be upset if you didn't get it right. I think this is a proper pedagogical exercise in Talmud Torah on how to learn Tosfos. Go ahead, Yona.
As the extension of requiring a base kibble, play eights can only be a major bump.
I don't understand that sentence. It sounds like it might be right. The Gemara says, let me let him translate that. Yehuda?
I don't know. I'm not actually sure what he's saying.
What do you say?
I said that the writer has a beskibul or tzaras el midrash for gabal tuma. If it's not, it's not gabal tuma. There are baran, if it has a beskibul, nis matelcho, nis magabo, lo nis matelcho, lo nis magabo. And if it doesn't have a beskibul, tzaras el midrash, there are baran, I have no idea.
Okay, you learned the whole Gemara, which I'm impressed because probably nobody else did. All we need to not confuse people is that the Gemara implies that a pshutei kleiets can only be mekabel tumah. You said everything I wanted to hear. Number one, pshutei kleiets are only mekabel tumah if they are roi lemedras, which means if you have a kleiets which is not roi lemedras, it is not mekabel tumah in the Torah. And you know that's what you were saying. Yehuda added another very important detail. If it is does not have a base kibul, it is unclear from the Gemara whether it's mekabel tumah midrabanan or not at all. That's just a very important point to be aware. The Gemara does not have a mashmos. If you read the entire sugya, there is no mashmos whether the tumah of pshutei kli'etz when it's not midras, whether it is mekabel tumah midrabanan or not at all. It is clear, however, that to be mekabel tumah min haTorah, as Yehuda said, and as Yonah had as well, it either has to have a base kibul, or it has to be ro'oi lemidras. Then, even if it doesn't have a base kibul, they are mekabel tumah haTorah. But, a kli which is not ro'oi lemidras, such as a tavla hamisapechas, and does not have a base kibul, the din would be, it is not mekabel tumah, at least min haTorah. And now you can already see the problem starting to form. Right, what is the problem that has already formed? What is the problem, Rabbi Yossi? Because this is where Tosafot starts out. Noah.
The Shulchan's not
Roy
in the Midras.
The Shulchan doesn't have a base kibul according to the Man Damar Miskarta Lamata Haisa. And the Gemara Menachos says that if Miskarta, Rabbi Yochanan says a Menachos, if Miskarta Lamata Haisa, then a Tavla HaMisapechas, which the way Rashi understands, a tavla which does not have a base kibul is mekabel tumah min haTorah. If miskarto lemala haisa, then it's a suffix whether it's a tavla and sabachas and mekabel tumah haTorah, because a shulchan is a clay kibul. Right, so that's the problem. The problem is this stira already between the mashmaros and the gemara and brachos, which is that no kliates which doesn't have a base kibul, no base kibulless kliates which is not midras, no such kli is mekabel tumah min haTorah. That's what the Gemara in Bechoros implies. And yet, according to one day in Menachos Rabbi Yochanan, it says for sure, tavla misapechas is mekabel tumah min haTorah. And according to the other day, it's a suffix whether it's mekabel tumah min haTorah or not. Morning.
Yair and I were discussing if it doesn't have a base kibul, but it is rotting the midras, can it only get tumah from tumah midras?
Now you're first understanding what I've said twice now, yesterday and earlier. Tumas Midras, the most assume that if a kli is roi, it's a Mishnah in Nida, actually, I believe. It's totally unrelated to Nida, I know it sounds like. But anything which is roi, the Midras is, anything that's in the Tame Midras is Metame Teres, but there are things that are Metame Teres and not Tame Midras. There's a Mishnah Achrona, which is a Perush. I don't know who wrote it. I use that a lot. It's a really good Perush on Seder Taros, and he wrote on Zerayim Mishnah Rishona. So I don't know who the author was. It's relatively late. He's certainly post Tosos Yantiv. He quotes there, if I'm not mistaken, there's a machlokas whether or not tumas meis there is mid'oraisa. But we usually assume that. We assume that once a kli is roi lekabel tumas midras, it's mitame everything that I know. Okay? Fine. Noah.
It seems to be mashma, at least from Rashi and Bechoru. Sorry, Rashi and Benato, that pshutei kliyets that have the tok is mekabel tumas mid'oraisa.
Rashi in
Benato.
That pshutei kliyets. Can't you? That's a stira in Ebay. A pshutei kleiets can't have a base kibul.
That pshutei kleiets that doesn't have a base kibul is mekabel tumah midoraisa.
That does.
That does have a base.
You can't. You can't be black and white at the same time. Pshutei kleiets means it's pashut. It's straight. It's flat. There can't be such a thing. It's not possible. That's it's an oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? Oxy is sharp, and moron is dull. That's what an oxymoron is. It's not possible. You can't have Pshutei Kli Eitz that is a base kibbul. It's not possible.
Okay.
What's that?
Yeah, I don't know.
So go back. You all go back and see what it is that made you think that that's Rashi. But the term doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know. I realize that, yeah.
Okay. It's fine. It's fine. Okay. Yehuda? It's something that people normally would use by putting a substantial amount of their weight on. A bed, a chair. There are five forms. Midras, Merkav, Moshav, Nishan, and Nisleh. In other words, if I have, let's say, like a wooden pillar here, but it's not attached to the ground, and people use it to lean on it, and you lean your weight on it, that's also midrash. It's called nishan. Nisla is an art case.
There's new leaning bars in the subway that people lean on all the way to the train.
Right, so that happens to be, that's more complicated because you have to deal with the mechuber to the train. What's the status of the train?
Right.
Is the train a kli matchas asoy linaches? I don't know what the din is, but I don't think that din applies by kli matchas. I don't know, but yes. So it's anything that a person puts, I think, a majority of the weight on, that's called...
That's a normal way of using it.
That's called... Right, right. If it's a kind of thing, a table is not... I don't know about this table, but it could be a table is not makabel tumas midras, because when you sit down on the table, the person who normally uses the table says, excuse me, I'd like to use the table. Please get up. When someone... And I don't use the table to sit on. I use the table to work at. A chair, I might tell you, get out of my chair, but so I can sit in the chair.
Is a car...
That thing, by the way, is learned from V'chol Kli, Asher Yeshev Alav Azav. It doesn't say Yashav, but Yeshev, which implies something that you normally do. Prat Lezeh She'omrim Amod V'nasem Alachtenu. Yes. Okay. And what's that? A car? I assume a car should be in principle midras. I don't know how you work out the details of car, but okay. The year that I teach Seder Taros, you know, as my limud, which is not anywhere in the cards, by the way. Just telling you that now. Don't get any funny ideas. So the first time I teach Seder Taros, I'll have a list of things that I want to know. You know what their status is. The bar on the subway train, the car. Those are all good questions, but they're low on my agenda right now. Okay. Fine. Question three. This is easy. What is the Mishnah? Almost easy. What does the Mishnah in Kalim tell us about the Tumah of Kli Eitz that is relevant to our discussion? So what does the Mishnah in Kalim say? The Mishnah in Kalim says, Kli Eitz u'Kli Or u'Kli Etzem u'Kli Zechuchas Pshutehem Tehorim u'Mekablehem Tmeim. That's all we need. A wooden Kli, a leather Kli, a Kli made of bone, and a Kli made of glass. If it has no base kibbul, if it's Pshutehem, it's Tohor. If it's Mekabel, it's Tmeim. Now, I have a question for you. When we say Pshutehem Tehorim, what does that mean? On its own, without any analysis of context, there are two possibilities. What does it mean, Pshutehem Tehorim? Amiel? Or?
Only
Midaraisa. Excellent. Perfectly said. And now, based on context, which must it be? Which would you say, based on context, it has to be? Is it Torah Legamre or Tahor only Midaraisa?
Of the Mishnah.
Seems
to be black and white.
How, why do you say that? The answer is correct, as Tosus points out, but there's a reason, there's a basis on which Tosus makes the diuk. It's not obvious. Morty?
Isn't something that's only Midrabanan?
The Tumah of Klei Zechuchas is completely Midrabanan in any form or fashion. So when the Mishnah says that Klei Zechuchas Pshutehem are Tehorim, it has to be even Midrabanan. And therefore, presumably, Eitz and Or and Etzem have the exact same din. So the Pashtus in the Mishnah is, by analogy to Zechuchas, is that Klei Eitz Pshutehem are Tehorim Ligamre. Yehuda.
Just say some of them are
if you were forced to a corner, you might want to say that, but it's a strange thing to do. As you know, that is a dachal kind of ukimta.
Yeah,
that's all. I didn't say it's 100% mochach. I said the pashtus is. That's all.
It's hard because it's not the mind.
In your spare time, you could forge a Gemara and Caleb. Okay? Said. You know, what's his name, did it on Kutchim. Yishalmi on Kutchim, you know, that, he's a piker. He at least had a Bavli on Kutchim to work with. Said, Taras, you don't have anything. You sit down and, you know, you could do that for the Purim, you know, Hamavaser, which is to try to write a real Gemara, not a spoof Gemara, but a real Gemara on Kalim. Create a sugya. That would be fun. Ah, that could be the final assignment for the year, except we're not learning Kalim. We're learning Sukkah. Never mind. Okay, fine. Okay. The Gemara in Baba Basra is, to my mind, in some ways, the most interesting, and to me, was Tosos was actually illuminating. The most difficult part of our Tosos, I was only able to grasp and be 95% sure I know what Tosos is saying, because Tosos and Baba Basra actually takes a very different approach. So let's talk about Baba Basra. I state the following the question. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us a rule about a pipe which is attached to the ground. What is that rule? All right, never kick a pipe attached to the ground. You'll probably break your toes because it's attached to the ground. If we're not attached to the ground, the pipe might go flying. You might hurt your toes, but not as badly. Okay, next. What is the Gemara's rule about a pipe attached to the ground? No.
If it's grafted prior to being set into the ground, then it's mafsil the mikvah. But if it's grafted after it was already set into the ground, then the mikvah is patched.
So the concern here is a mayim she'uvim. And mayim she'uvim is a big machlokas harishonim. The Gemara talks about it here, but it's a question of what the Gemara means. The Gemara here, right after the part that I gave you, I don't think I put it on the sheet, says that mayim she'uvim is only the rabbanon. So it's a big machlokas. What is mayim she'uvim? Mayim she'uvim means you can take a kli, fill it with water, and pour it into the ground or into your mikvah, and fill the mikvah that way. The rule, at least with the rabbanon, is that once you have a mikvah that's 40 sa'ah, can pour as much water you like into it in the world. As much water in the world you want into it, it's not going to make the mikvah fossil. However, if you don't have 40 saw yet, if you are short any amount, and you pour 3 lugan of mayim shuvim, how much is a lug? Not a lot. There are 24 lugan in a saw, there are 40 saw in the shear. You're talking about like 1/320th or something like that, even if the mikvah is almost full. If you pour 3 lugan of mayim shuvim into water where you don't have 40 saw yet, you're not the mikvah is psula. But it doesn't matter how much kosher water you add afterwards. It remains fossil until you get the mayim shuvim out somehow. That's the din. No debate about that. If I fill a mikveh with all mayim shuvim, it's a machlokas harishonim with that psul is d'oraisa or the rabbanon. Most rishonim, I think, say the psul is the rabbanon. It's a gzeirah that you might go to the mikveh in a kli, and you might think that to be strange because how do you go to the mikveh in a bowl? You know, when my son Noah, it's hard to imagine, verse 20 shortly, when he was a baby, we sometimes used to bathe him in the sink. And probably many of you had that experience too. Remember a time bathing in the kitchen sink, in fact. Right? And it's hard to, you guys, some of you know him. He's a big boy. You know, he wouldn't fit in the kitchen sink. Not even close. But the question is, in that case, and the kitchen sink's a bad example because that might be more mechubel karka. But let's say you had a bathtub, the old style bathtub, when it was on legs, and assuming for a moment that any plumbing did not connect directly to the tub. The tub stood alone. Maybe you have a spout from the plumbing pouring water into it. That bathtub is possible with the raisa to use as a mikveh. That's a kli. It has to be in the karka. So some rishonim say because they remind shuvim that tassels in any of its forms only with the rabbanon ought to kli. But Rashbam and I think we're being Tam or Rashbam and Ri say no. They say that if it's a majority of mayim shuvim in the mikveh, then it's possible with the raisa. I think that's a minority opinion. We try to be obviously we're very machmir in these areas because it entails tefilas nida, which is potentially sukkaris. But bottom line is that that's a machlokas harishonim. But she'iva on some level is the rabbana. So the concern here is that I have a pipe, I fix it into the ground, but the pipe is considered has a base kibul at some point, which is complicated. It's all right because a regular straight pipe doesn't have a base kibul. It's not a clay. In other words, a straight pipe that you know how they get water into the mikveh, the rainwater. They're piping from the roof. So some might use PVC piping, but that won't change anything. It doesn't matter whether it's tamei or not tamei. There's one day in Rishonim who says that maybe there's a rush who says that maybe the psul daraisa is only by kelim that are makablam tumah. Like clay eitz, clay avanim, clay glalim would only be midrabanim. Okay, sorry. Let's get off topic. So straight pipe is not showing because the water, it can't hold water. Right? Water just comes in one way, goes out the other. It doesn't matter where you orient the pipe. But assume that this tzinor is a pipe that will actually have a base kibul at some point. If you carve it out and then you fix it to the ground, it still is a kli to make the water shuvim. If, however, kiva'o, you first fix the... And what's it made of, by the way? What's this pipe made of? There are only two substances that they had that would have worked, that Rashba mentions, really the two that are effective. Wood and ebon. Metal, you have to do it with metal. Maybe you could do it with charis. Yeah. Rashbam mentions those two. I thought maybe charis you could do it. It's hard to do it with charis.
Well, because you have to be killed and big enough to make a pipe.
What's that? Yeah, I don't imagine people ever carve out of cheres. That's not the way you work with cheres. But wood you could carve out, and stone you carve out. Those start as blocks of material, right? That's why you could have such a thing. So if you attached it to the ground first and then you carve it out, so then it's not posel the mikvah. So the Gemara has a problem. They want to know whose opinion is this. And the truth is there's an inherent stira here. The question is whether something which was originally pulush and now you join it to the ground, does that mean that there's no shame kli to it? The inherent tension in those two positions is that if a human being joining it to the ground means that you mevatel the shame kli from it, it shouldn't matter what order you did it in, it should be good. And if joining it to the ground doesn't not mevatel the shame kli, it shouldn't matter if you join it first and then you carve it out. You have a kli that's still, I don't care if you attach it to the ground, now you have a kli. So the Gemara suggests that this opinion does not conform either to Rabbi Eliezer or to the Chachamim. And now, the Gemara initially doesn't know which Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, but obviously Rabbi Eliezer, who believes that something that we attach to the ground is considered part of the karka, and the Chachamim, who believe that something that we attach to the ground is not considered part of the karka. So the Gemara tries two examples first. One, in Dinei Mamonos, of selling a house and what goes along with the sale, what's assumed to be part of the sale. Stuff that's mechuber lekarka, but we were mechaber, not like the house. Is that part of it? There's a machlok sub that's in the Chacham. The Gemara says that has nothing to do with this. Then the Gemara tries to prove it from whether or not a beehive, which you kaveres, which you glue to the ground with mud, whether that's considered karka or metaltalim. But then the Gemara says, no, that also doesn't serve as the machlokas here. So then finally the Gemara settles on the case of daf shel nachtomim. And what does the Gemara say in Baba Basra? The Gemara says, Ella, second line in the source sheet, in the source, which is on the second source sheet. Ella, Rabbi Eliezer, did daf, ditunan, daf shel nachtomim shekeva'o bekosel. Rabbi Eliezer mitaher, vachachomim mitamim. So if you have, but what's a daf shel nachtomim? What's a nachtom? It can be a baker. More generally, it means a food, a cook. It could be baking, it could be cooking. Either one. Now, we often say nachtom is a baker. I think the sar ha'ofim in Unklus is rav nachtomai, I think. But nachtom means cook or baker. What's the term by challah? Pas balab. No, I don't think so. That's not, I'm thinking. No, they do use. The shear for challah is a balabayas and a nachtom are the two. Yeah. By avodah zarah and bishalakum and that stuff, it's pas balayas, pas palter. But in the Mishnah, the shear 124th, 148th, which are the two shear for challah, the nachtom has to give less, but it's a nachtom. All right, so what's a daf shel nachtomim? It says a board. It could be a cutting board, it could be a kneading board, something like that. That's true. Rashbam, you mean. Rashbam says you put the bread on it. It's a flat thing. It's a flat thing. So dav shel nachtomim shekvo bekosel. You attach it to the wall. Rabbi Lezer mitaher v'chachamim mitamim. So the Gemara says, how would this correspond to the Tutsinar cases? Money. E Rabbi Eliezer afilu chakoko l'mso kvo. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if you mechaber a kli to the karka, once you mechaber it, it becomes part of the karka. So even if you carve out the pipe and then you put it and fix it into the ground, it should be tar, like the dav shel nachtomim. And e rabbanon afilu kvo l'besocha kako nami. According to the chachamim, who cares? It's a kli, and it doesn't matter how you get it attached to the ground. It's attached by human means. Now you make it into a kli. It's a kli that's attached to the ground. It's not mechuber l'karka, and it should be possible. So the Gemara says, La olam Rabbi Lezer hi. It's Rabbi Lezer's opinion. So what was the problem for Rabbi Lezer? The problem was that according to him, what should it be? That even if you carve it out first, and then you attach it to the ground, it shouldn't be posel. You should say it's mechuber lekarka, it's not a kli anymore. Just like the daf that you attach to the wall. So the Gemara says, which is no longer tameh according to Rabbi Lezer, because the mechuber lekarka, and something that's mechuber lekarka is not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, no. Lo olam Rabbi Lezer, v'shanei pshutei kleiets du tumah de rabbanon. Morty?
Why can't it be the rabbanon? Why can't we just say that they would say by daf shel nachtomim if they?
I hear the question. why the Gemara, there is a continuation in the Gemara, but I think it goes down, I don't remember if it goes down a different road. You mean, why doesn't the Gemara just assume that the Rabbanon would say, yes, if you only make into a kli when it's mechubar lekarka, then that's not called a kli. I don't know. I'm sure the Rishonim talk about it. But I'm not going to answer because I don't know, and it's not our sugi right now. So the Gemara goes on to give a different teretz. The Gemara goes on to say that it's actually no. It's a kli matchos. I don't remember where the Gemara goes with that. Now, there are two implications of this Gemara. There are two things that are implied about clay eights and tumah. And what are those two things? It's a funny, I'm going to formulate it a funny way, but there's a reason I do that. What are the two implications of this Gemara about pshute clay eights? Take a stab at it. Number one. What's that? No, don't say that. That's the one I don't want to say.
But that's the one the Gemara says.
No. I want you to divide that into two parts, because it's important, because the Rishonim are bothered by both parts. Yes. It's not Makabel Tumah Midaraisa, and it is Makabel Tumah, or it's not Torah Lagamre either. Both of those pose a problem for the Rishonim, in different ways. Tosos in different contexts. Because some of the data points to the notion that Pshute Kleyetz are Tameh Min HaTorah. What Sugya points in that direction? That Pshute Kleyetz are Tameh Min HaTorah. No. That's not Menachos. The Gemara Menachos suggests that Pshute Kleyetz are Mekabel Tumah Min HaTorah. The Mishnah in Kalim says it's not Mekabel Tumah, the Pashas is not at all. And there are other Gemaras that Tosos brings at all we'll talk about. Mitzad, but this Gemara implies the worst of all worlds. It is Mekabel Tumah, but not Midaraisa. Meaning it's not Torah Legamre, it's not Tameh Min HaTorah. Because Pshute Kleyetz are Tameh Midarabanan. So the question is, how do you put this piece in with the puzzle? So those are the two fundamental implications. Yeah, you're right. It's Mekabel Tumah Rabbanan, but it's not Mekabel Tumah Min HaTorah. Okay. Question five. This is fairly straightforward. The Gemara in Chulin deals with Tamei being Shochet a Karban, and there is concern that he will be Tamei the meat of the animal, which is Tamei while alive, not Tamei while it's dead, not while it's alive. Right? There's only one thing that's Mekabel Tumah when it's alive. What is that? A Ben Yisrael or a Bas Yisrael. Not even just a person, only a Jew. A Goy is not metame in any form midoraisa when he's alive. Midrabanan, there's zeros to treat a Goy, Goyim like Zavim. But in the Torah, a Goy is not metame kihuza when he's alive. When a Goy dies, it's a machlokas harishonim. There are two famous opinions in the Gemara, but Chachmei Ashkenaz came up with a third. The position of Tosis is that a Goy is metame just like a Jew is metame. B'maga, b'masa, uva ohel. The Rambam's position, following Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, following Eliyahu Hanavi, who was a Kohen, but he hung out in the Beis HaKfarah Shel Goyim. There's a Gemara in Baba Metzia about this in the beginning of the, I think, 9th or 10th parak, probably 10th parak, but Kuf Yud Gimel, in the Sugya of Misadrin Lebal Chov. So the Rambam says that a Goy is Metamid B'mag of Amasa B'nach B'ohel. And then there's a third opinion quoted in the Beis Yosef from like another Rokeach, one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, who claims a Goy is not Metamid at all. It's very difficult. It's hard to see that in the Gemara. So, but a Goy is not Metame at all when he's alive. A Jew is Metame when he's alive. Either he becomes Tame in contact with things, or he emits Tumah, like a Zav, or a Zava, or a Nida, or a Yoledes, or someone who became Tame. It's by Meiskin emit Tumah, Balkari, etc., etc., etc. A Behema is never Metame when it's alive. Never Metame. So, but the concern is you're shechting the animal. When you shecht an animal, it's dead. Not mostly dead, but dead. And therefore, the animal, he might be metame by touching it. There's a question I'm going to talk about now. How does the animal become mukhshar lekabel tumah? Not our discussion. But anyway, Morty? When it's dead. Only when it's dead. Perish a pasuk. When it's dead. If you wish to keep your pet gecko as long as he's alive, he's not metame. One of the shvatzim, probably. Yeah, most of the shvatzim are actually are reptiles. Maybe the achbar is a mouse. It's not clear what the tinshamis is, whether that's a bat or not, because there's a tinshamis that's a bird earlier. But yeah, if you look at Felix, Tzomeach v'chai b'Torah, he lists you what the Shemana Shvatzim are. They're almost all reptiles. So yes. Okay. So the Gemara is concerned about how is this guy going to do shechita, because he's going to be metame the knife. and the knife will be metami the basar. And the Gemara's answer is that bodak chromis shelkana. What is a chromis shelkana? A reed, a grass, or something like that. He's bodeket. Why is he bodeket? He looks at it and says, this looks good. Why is he bodeket? Because a nick passels in shchita. You bodek a knife every time you shech. So you have to be bodek the chromis shelkana, and you shech with it. How are you going to shech with such a thing? What type of a kana is this? It's not the sharp that's the problem. It has to be sharp. It has to be hard. Excellent. That's what I was thinking. Take bamboo once it hardens. So you could get, it's hard. You could get a very sharp edge if you cut it, you know, and so on.
I like that thing that's like a fake, it's not a lulav. The thing of art dismisses as being a lulav.
Atzina Harabarzel?
No.
Haruta, but that comes from it. Yeah, I'm sure you could find, listen, you could think about the side of a lulav leaf. Can also be nasty sharp, right? I don't know if any of you have gotten paper cuts on it. I have.
Yeah.
So, not fun. So, lulav is a dangerous weapon. Slice you on the side, pierce you. They shouldn't have thrown their srogim at that stuki coin on the mizbeach. They should have hurled their spear. The only catch is that throwing a javelin requires much more, you know, skill than throwing a hand grenade. So, you know, a baseball. So that's probably why they didn't throw the lulav, you know, but if you had a javelin throw, that would, you know, that would have worked well. Fine. So anyway, so the question is, what's the status of a chromis shelkana? Obviously, it's tahar. So you might be tempted to say the following. What happens if you take a flint, you find a really sharp stone, and you shecht an animal with that? Right? Is the stone mekabel tumah? No. Stone's not mekabel tumah, period. Is that a kli? Well, a better question. Do you need a kli for shechita? The answer is not for shchitas chulin, but for shchitas kachim. Vayikach es hama achelas. It has to be a kli.
Yeah.
Do you do shchita on birds or kachim? Quiet. I want answer the question.
Wasn't that the whole fingernail thing?
Do you do shchita on birds of kachim? No, you do not. What do you do on birds of kachem?
Malika. It's not a subset of shchita?
It is not a subset of shchita. Hakasher b'malika, pasul b'shchita, pasul b'malika, kasher b'shchita. Malika is done from the back of the animal. If you did the equivalent of malika with a kli, with a knife, on a bird, which was chulin, it would be a nevela, because you'd break through the spine before you got to the simanim. Malika is not at all. In fact, the Gemara in Yevamos, in the Sugya of Isser Chalal Isser, in Lamed Beis Lamed Gimel, talks about the following question. If a zar eats from the chatas ha'of, which the kohanim are allowed to eat, how many isurim does he violate? He might not only violate the isur of a zar eating, let's say, kachay kachim, he also might violate nevela. Because only a kohen was hutar b'nevela. Whereas in principle, malika should make the animal nevela. So the answer is no. There's no shechita without a kli in kachim. Because there's no shechita by birds. By birds of kachem. By chulin, it's regular shechita. It doesn't require a kli, it just requires the sharp edge. So what do you see from the Gemara then about a chromis shelkana? It's wooden, it's the definition, by definition, is wood. Right? Grass is considered wood. Okay? And you shecht with it. And a tameh will not defile it so that it could transmit tumah to the meat. And therefore, what do you see about pshutei kleiets? That taharim legamre. If it were tameh midrabanan, that would be a problem also. That would be a problem midrabanan. The Gemara raises that possibility, but it doesn't. In other words, that could be also. It's only going to be a problem if you're an av that you're going to be mitame the kli to make it a rishon, which will be mitame the thing. If you're only a rishon the toma, you won't be mitame the knife. Under the Gemara talks about that, but the Gemara says in a case of a tmei meis, if he were to use a chromis shelkana, it would work. Right. Which means that a chromis shelkana is a kli, it's wood, it's pashut, and it's not mekabel toma at all.
Why don't we say it's like a shape?
I don't think they invented such a gzeira. That's all.
No.
The Gemara says it's not a problem, which tells you it's not makabel tum at all.
Even if it's touched by tamei meis, it becomes a sheni. That's the gezeira.
The Gemara doesn't assume that.
No, the Gemara doesn't say anything.
Firstly, it's kachim.
Yeah.
And a kli can never be a sheni. You don't find any such gezeiras.
Right, so.
Okay. No. Okay. Fine. We're almost through the questions. We're not going to finish Tosfos today, and that's okay. You have a chance, and I beg you to do Chazara, and on Monday, those of you who didn't get through all Tosfos will get through all Tosfos. Then we will be finished with the Sugya, and we're going to move on. Okay, what two requirements? This is a very straightforward question. Does the Sifra have for clay eights to be Mekabel Tuma? Do these two requirements work together? Or, meaning, for example, do you need both? You need just one? Is it the Rabbanon? Is it the Raisa? So what are the two requirements found in the Torah's Kohanim, in the Sifra? Ilan?
One was Mishamesha Adam and Mishamesha Mishamesha Adam.
Right. I don't know exactly what that means. In some ways, I think Mishamesha Adam and Mishamesha Mishamesha Adam means it contains some capacity, I would say, of holding. In other words, it holds Mishamesha Adam, and it also holds Adam a little bit, like on a table. A table is considered Mishamesha Adam also because maybe you lean a little, it's not midras, but a little bit of your weight goes on the table. Right? A menorah is considered Mishamesha Adam, I assume because it holds up the oil lamps, right? The oil lamps, and that's called Mishamesha, but it's not Mishamesha Adam. Obviously, you use a menorah, that's why you have it. You have Kalim to use them, but it's not Mishamesha. So I don't know, I don't care right now what the exact definition is. But it's Mishamesh Adam and Mishamesh Mishamesh Adam. That's one requirement for Kli Eitz to be Mekabel Tumah. Number two. What's the second? Mitaltel Malei V'Rekan. So those are two requirements. Are those, is either one enough? Are both required? What would you say? So I think everybody assumes that both are needed.
Really?
And the, by the way, you say the second one is odd because the second one.
But the Shulchan is Malay. What's it mean for Shulchan to be Malay?
What's that?
What's it mean for Shulchan to be Malay?
To have a base kibble.
Doesn't need a base kibble. It's very obvious here. We don't have a base kibble.
No, I understand. But so I'd say, what was my question?
Which ones do you need?
So the postulate is that you need both. You need both. Assuming that this is a real drush on the Sifra, postures you need both. You need both to be mitalta malavarekon and to be mishamesh adam, mishamesh, mishamesh adam.
I don't see how the shulchan is mitalta malavarekon. It's not doing the sock at all. It doesn't hold things.
Of course it does. You put stuff down on the table.
And you have to be movable with stuff on the table?
Yeah. Yeah, excuse me. You're thinking your kitchen table or your dining room table. That's not mitalta, period. Malay or reikon. You had small shulchanos that they would bring in. They'd bring in the taka kane. They'd put a shulchan down in front of him.
No, that's the eating shulchan. There's other type of shulchan also on that list. The other type of thing is on the list of things that tahor is the type of shulchan.
Which shulchan? Dofaki?
Yeah.
I presume it's still movable. Okay. Anyway, let me read the sifra very quickly. Kli eitz. Yachal asulam va'kolav anachusav ha-menorah talmalomar mikli eitz v'lo kokli eitz. I don't know what these are except for the sulam and the menorah. The important thing is that the latter is something you put your weight on. Talmalomar mikokli eitz v'lo mikli eitz. I'm sorry, it should be probably mikokli eitz, unless that's the second one. V'lo kokli eitz. O yachal shani marbe ha-shulchan va'tavla va'dofaki. I would exclude those. Talmalomar, so shulchan is a table, a tavla is like a tray. And a dofaki is some kind of other table. Tamalomar lichol kliates riba. Mara isa larabus is elu lahotzi is elu. Why do you include some in kliates and not others? Acha shariba kosav miate, tamalomar sak. Once the Torah was marbe kliates, it then was mamait by saying sak. Ma sak miyuchad shemishamish es adam es mishamshe adam. Afani marbe ashucham a dofaki shemishamshin es adam es mishamshe adam. I will include anything that is Mishamesh Adam and is Mishamshim and his stuff. Umotzi es asulum shu Mishamesh es Adam, but ve'eno Mishamesh Mishamshe Adam. Okay. Fine. Is there another part of the Sifra?
The second one.
No, I know, but Tosas quoted something longer than this. I didn't realize he's different. All right. Anyway, Kli Eitz Yochal Ashida Tevo Migdal V'Kaveres Kash V'Kaveres Kanim Ubar Svin Alexandra Sheishlem Shulayim He Machzikin Arbaim Sa Balach Shem Korayim B'Yavesh. A Kor is how many Sa? 30. Korayim is therefore 60, because a liquid, if it holds 40 Korim of liquid in its thing, if you put in flour, you can pile it up, you can get another 50% according to the Gemara. So you might think that those are included. Tamalomar mikliates v'lo kokliates. O yochal shani motzi dror agala uksasos uksasus malachim harivas haovdim ubar svina katana va'aron tamalomar kol kliyets riba. Mara isa l'rabu saselu l'hotzi aselu. Ach hashiriba akasa mi tamalomar sak. Ma sak miyuchadim shem metaltam b'miluo. Afani arbe dardur agala uksasus malachim harivas haovdim. Ubar svina katana va'aron shem metaltam b'miluo. Umotzi ani hashid hatev amido v'kaveres kash v'kaveres kanam. Kaveres is a hive. Ubar svina alexandra sheyesh lam shulayim v'machzikin arbar sam balachshim kar b'yevesh ena metaltam b'miluo. Noah.
If we're assuming that Shulchan, it's kind of going back to what we said before, but if we're assuming that Shulchan is a Tatsil Mali Brecha, why do you need the Drasha in Menachem at all?
No, so the whole point is that the Shulchan and the Mikdash was normally you would have thought is not. You put it down there and you don't move it.
But the Shulchan and the Shulchan,
you
move
it. It's not a din if you call it Shulchan. It depends what kind of Shulchan you're talking about. That's all. It's clear to me that Chazal looked at our dining room tables, that would have been called Kliyetas Ilanaches. It doesn't actually hold anything. I mean, it doesn't hold anything that's a base kibble that's used, but it's large enough that, you know, I move the dining room table, you know, only bikoshi when it's insisted upon when I have you guys over, typically speaking. I don't know if more recent times we haven't. I always beg not to have to move it, because I'm the one who has to move it. Although I have figured out how to move it, a single person. That I can do. I can't get it open and get the leaves in by a single person, but I can move it. Trick. On a wood floor without scratching, you just put a towel underneath the legs. You slide in the towel. Amazing. Yes, Yehuda. So you know all the things you learn in Shir. I strive to be like the Talmud Bavli. It's not just halacha, it's everything. Okay. Oh, that's not, I don't know, and I don't know how some of these things. That's not a bore in the ground. No, it's like in it's like in a boat or something like that, or something like that. What? An aron is like a large. Large, yeah, like dresser. It's not a large, a small dresser, if you want to call it that. Like a chest. I don't know how. You know, like sometimes you sit in the chest when you're a kid, you're playing, you know, you're imagining you're in a car. Or like, what's that? They have a similar shape. But, okay.
Maybe a coffin is considered a Shabbat Adam, even if you're dead when you use it?
Not sure. Okay.
I guess building on Gil's point, it's not obvious to me reading the Sefer again that the default is that we're the Ma'id thing, unless we can marvel them with all the qualifications. You never look the opposite direction. Meaning, the Midrash is marvel some things and mozi other things. So, is the default that we're marvel things unless we're mozi them, or that we're mozi things unless we're marvel them?
You're arguing that either one or the other should be sufficient?
Yeah.
So you know, it's possible if you read this sifra in the in isolation with no other knowledge of rabbinic literature, you might reach that conclusion. But given that these dinim are in the Mishnayos and the sifra postdates the Mishnah, I suspect that it's clear.
Is dinim b'shem she'adam also?
That I don't even think it makes it into the Mishnah. It's almost as if.
No, so that would be my way of saying the sifra gives you two drashot, and it's either.
So you want to argue
and
the sifra and the Mishnah? Yeah, it's possible. Okay. So the way Tosis presents it is the Gemara wants to know exactly what's the status of that first one.
Right.
And that's how Tosis presents it. Okay, fair enough. Fine. And then, what does the question in our Gemara about the Miskeres do in terms of understanding what is the Metzias in the Gemara in Menachos? So, this I think is obvious now. Now explain to me what impact our Gemara in Sukkah has on the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara here mentions the Machlokas, whether Misgarto Lamala or Misgarto Lamata. Did anybody write an answer for this question, by the way? Oh. Okay. That wasn't when you were also to read Tosis first. That's fine. You'd have to be Tosfos to be able to answer that question. So, what does our Gemara say about Misgarto Lamata versus Misgarto Lamala? What does our Gemara suggest the difference is? Amiel?
It's Lamata, it's a Kli, it's on top, it's a Hesher.
Okay, so if it's Lamata, it's a Kli. If it's on top, it's a Hesher Kli. Now, why is that important? I know. Why is that important in terms of our discussion? What did Rabbeinu Tam want to say? Morty?
You wanted to say that it's connected to the bottom of the shulchan.
Okay. And therefore, what would that make the mascaras? What would that make the Miskeres, if you take Rabbi Natan's construction, Noah?
Presumably Tosfot is trying to say that Rabbi Natan is making it to a Hechsher of Bait.
Correct. And the Gemara here makes it clear that it's a Klev Neatzma. You can disagree. If you want to argue against Tosfot and defend Rabbi Natan and say that it does make it, that's one thing. But a Hechsher, what does a Hechsher Klev mean?
It is
not the Klev, but it builds, it adds to the Klev in some way. Right? If you understand why, if the mascaris is on top, it's a hesher clay, right? Hesher clay, and think about it, the way the Gemara presents it, in Menachos, hesher clay doesn't mean a decoration. It doesn't mean purely a tasha. Because Rabbi Yosef says that what does it do? It holds the bread off.
It's according to Rabbi Yosef.
What's that?
It's no less of a clay according to Rabbi Yosef than is, you know, to structurally support the legs.
No, but the difference is that, in other words, a hechsher. So we have to define, how does Tosfos understand hechsher clay? So firstly, the legs themselves aren't kelim. And I would argue the legs barely got any, they got a height, but not more than that. Tosfos is assuming that to be a hechsher, maybe Rabbi Natan would disagree, but to be a hechsher clay means it's kind of secondary to a clay. It's like added to a kli to just help the kli do some function. That's the mascaris on top. The mascaris below, the Gemara says, is actually called a kli. It's not serving the shulchan. It may be assisting the legs in doing a job. So Tosfos, you could disagree with Tosfos if you want. I'm just explaining why this is so important. So Tosfos says that the only way for it, if it in fact is attached to the shulchan underneath as opposed to the legs, it's a hechsher kli just like it is for Rabbi Yosef. In other words, it's part of the shulchan, part of the top of the shulchan. If it, however, is attached to the legs, then it's not part of the top of the shulchan anymore. It's a klei b'fnei atzmo.
Why is it making a klei b'fnei atzmo? It's not. It doesn't have any purpose other than to support the top part.
It's a fair question. I'm not going to answer that question now. I want you to see why Tosfos thinks this Gemara is relevant. But that's the issue that Tosfos has. He says that according to Rabbi Natan, if the mascaris on the bottom basically is constructed the same way as the mascaris on top, let me frame it differently for you. According to Rabbi Natan, there is no difference between mascaris below and mascaris on top. It's just which way it is built. At least according to Rashi, there's a fundamental difference in the construction of the kli on the mascaris on top, mascaris on bottom, which is why it's conceivable. Even though you don't understand, and I don't have a good explanation as to why one is called clay and one is called hechsher clay. That really is why, that's why you had to suffer through, and we'll have to suffer through this entire Tosfos. You will hopefully, through the pain, have great gain, but that it's because of that Tosfos jumps up and says, one second, this Gemara proves that Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. What problem was Rabbeinu Tam trying to solve? What problem was Rabbeinu Tam trying to solve? And that's the last question I'm going to ask right now. What question was Rabbeinu Tam trying to solve? Survey says?
The Gemara Menachos implies that Shute Glades would be Tame, and the other
Gemaras, except for the Gemara Menachos, would suggest that Shute Glades are either Tahor Lagamre or at least not Midoraisa. That at least Midoraisa is. Only the Gemara Menachos seems to raise the possibility of Pshutei Klei Eitz, if that's what a Tavla Misapechas is, the way Rashi explains it, is the Kavol Tumah Min HaTorah according to one Mandamar for sure, and maybe even according to the other Mandamar. That's the problem. Right? The problem is really there are three things that are mashma in the Gemara. Pshutei Klei Eitz are Mekavol Tumah Min HaTorah, Pshutei Klei Eitz are Mekavol Tumah Omni Darbanan, Pshutei Klei Eitz are not Mekavol Tumah at all. The job of Tosfos and all the Mishonim is to try to put these pieces together. The biggest problem is whether Pshutei Kleitz are Metame Min HaTorah or they're not Metame Min HaTorah. The only Gemara that's Mashma, there's a Gemara and the Sifra, that are Mashma, that Pshutei Kleitz are Mekabel Tumah Min HaTorah. Rabbeinu Tam will say, as many would say, that the Sifra is an asmachta, as it frequently is. Okay, but note, though, that the second paragraph in the Sefra about Metalta Mother Rekon is not an asmachta. That's point one. Point two, Rabbi Nathan says the Gemara Menachos is not Pshutei Klei Eitz. Problem solved. Why? Because Rabbi Nathan says the Misgeres was nailed into the Daf HaShulchan. So when you turn the Daf HaShulchan over, you mamish have a base kibble. And hence, no Gemara, not even the Gemara Menachos, says that Pshutei Klei Eitz are Mekabel Tomem Torah unless they are Re'uyim Lemidras. Outside of that, there is no Toma for Pshutei Klei Eitz Min HaTorah. That's how Rabbeinu Tam solved the problem. Tosus says Rabbeinu Tam's solution is against the simple reading of our Gemara, that the machilkas between Miskeres Lamata and Miskeres Lamala is whether it's Kli or Hechsher Kli, and therefore it doesn't work, and that's why Tosus says you have to opt for a different kind of solution. That's what Tosus is going through. But once you know the mashmos, the simple mashmos of every single sugya that we've looked at, now when you read Tosus, everything but two lines in the Tosos are very, very difficult. I'm going to tell you which two lines they are, and then we'll stop there. If you go to your Gemara for a moment, Daf Hei Amud Aleph in the big Tosfos, if you go seven lines down from when the lines get wide, on the beginning of the line, it begins with Lon B'Menachos, and then is a little in parentheses, Shum. On that line, right before the words Mishum, put a little bracket. Close that off. Skip down from Mishum. Two lines, directly below it is two lines is the word daf. Go back one word right before Bahashta, close the brackets. Those two lines are by far the most difficult lines in this Tosos. The rest of the Tosos, once we've done everything we've done, is very straightforward. I will give you, I don't want to say a hint. I've already tried to lay out something about this early in this year. I was not able to figure this out until I read Tosos and Baba Basra. Tosos and Menachos is essentially identical to our Tosos, but with the order inverted, because the starting point in the Gemara is different. Tosos and Baba Basra has a couple of significant, but subtle differences between Tosos there and Tosos here. It was there that it sort of was able to start to understand what those two lines meant. Okay. I want to wish you all a wonderful Shabbos.